This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Confidence picks today, fellas. This is my favorite day of the week. Hey. We got confidence picks. But some of the bigger games out of the top 25, we got Nebraska-Oklahoma this weekend.
That would have been fun 8 to 10 years ago.
I was going to say, 15 years ago, that's a fun game. Not so much now. Nebraska, Scott Frost, possibly dead man walking. You got some rivalry games, Virginia Tech, West Virginia. That one might be pretty decent. That's a noon kickoff. You also have Michigan State and Miami. 24th-ranked Miami playing Michigan State. Michigan State has done pretty nice, Mel Tucker and the boys. Could they pull off the upset versus the Canes tomorrow at noon? That'd be a game. I'll watch that one. That'd be a pretty interesting game. But the biggest game tomorrow's slate
is Florida State at Wake Forest. Wake Forest is 4.5-point favorite.
Was six yesterday. My biggest game tomorrow is a 3:30 game. The biggest game out of the SEC. Number one, Alabama versus number 11, Florida. What do we expect from this game? Can Florida actually make this respectable? Can they scare Alabama at all? Does it depend on if Richardson plays, or can the combination? Because Dan Mullen's already said both of them are going to play, and they understand that they both are going to play.
So
he and Emory Jones, if you don't know.
When I look at this game, you know, Florida has some pieces on defense, and they have Kyrie Elam too, who is a top five prospect in the country in terms of the upcoming NFL draft at this specific moment in time. So, you know, they could be able to cause some problems for Alabama offensively. You know, granted, causing problems for Alabama offensively is forcing two punts a half, if you're lucky. I mean, that's just that's the nature of Alabama's offense at this point in time. But I just don't think regardless of what Florida's defense is able to do, I don't think Florida's offense has enough to them to be able to beat Alabama. They're going to need a defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown, some sort of mistake made by Alabama that they can capitalize on to be able to make this game a close game at all. I just don't see it. You know, we said all offseason that we don't think this Florida team is your typical Florida team.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree. I mean, I think that it's not your typical Florida team. I mean, it's a little bit different with the two-headed monster quarterback. But I think that they can maybe make some noise. I think that maybe they can make some noise, but it's going to be tough. I mean, like, anybody that plays Alabama. Maybe this Richardson kid can be like a Johnny Manziel from the past. Maybe he can really cause some problems for Alabama with his mobility. And he does have a strong arm. Saw some nice throws from him in their game against South Florida. It is South Florida. It's not Alabama. But that's what you need when you play Alabama. Got to have great quarterback play. I'm not saying he's a great quarterback, but if they want to beat Alabama, they'll need great quarterback play from the two of those guys, from Richardson, also from Emory Jones. But it is that time of the week, and we almost missed it. I didn't know if he was going to call in, so we started doing our SEC.
I forgot to talk.
We started doing our national football talk. But no, without further ado, we'll go over to the G3 Help Me hotlines. If you or a loved one is involved in an accident, let the G3 team of G. Turner Howard III get you the compensation that you deserve. That's right. G. Turner Howard III. Hey, And you can visit them at g3helpme.com. At G3, you matter the most. Visit g3helpme.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get the help now. That's g3helpme.com. Again, g3helpme.com. It's Fast Freddy Fridays. Rick Butler Fridays. It's time to bring Rick Butler in here of Rocky Top Insider. Intern Ryan, you got him on? Ricky, good to hear from you, buddy. How are you? Did you tap him in? We got a new producer today, Rick. Sorry, he hasn't done this
before. Is it?
Hold tight. Rick, we'll come back to Rick. Charlie, you talk for a second. Let me go help Ryan.
Now my phone's just stopped working, too, so I can't even talk to Rick to see if he is still there. But funny story, actually. I didn't realize that today was Friday when I first woke up, and then it was Rick Butler Friday, and I was supposed to see if he was good or not today. So that's my fault. I'm sorry. But, yeah, excited to have Rick Butler on, even if it is a little bit shorter this time. The Tennessee Tech game week, man, it's just really, it's throwing the mental off. It really is. It's just these games like this, man, it's hard.
It's throwing everybody off. But now, it is Rick Butler Friday. Rick Butler of Rocky Top Insider. Oh, man, he did it again.
Oh, no.
Hit the flashing one. Rick Butler. We'll get you in here. Rick, do we have you?
No.
Ryan is really having trouble with the phones. Rick,
wait, I hear him.
No, we lost him.
No. Oh, no.
All right, so.
Oh. Well.
So when you guys did this training, we clearly didn't go over phone calls that one day.
We tried to, but we didn't get any phone calls.
Didn't get any phone calls. This is live radio here.
Stay on right here. We're going to try to.
You got to turn your mic off, too.
Jeez.
I promise you.
All right.
This is a great Friday.
I'm so sorry.
Turn the phone pot off. Turn it off. No, on the board. On the board. On the board. On the board. Thank you. Oh, man.
Phone calls are hard.
They're not that hard. They're not that hard. You're just having a little trouble. I think you're getting nervous over there. It's all good. Just take your time. Rick, we're going to take a quick timeout, Rick. You hold tight. We'll get you on the other side. We'll break down Tech and the Vols with Rick as we approach Rick Butler Fridays at Rick Butler, Rick underscore Butler on Twitter. He covers the Vols for Rocky Top Insider. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, Ryan. On the other side, we will talk to Rick about the Vols. We'll ask him about the upcoming quarterback situation. Ask him about the injury report. Everything that's going on with the Vols ahead of the Tech game tomorrow at noon. Keep it locked here for Fan Run Radio. This is the Blitz. Back to the Blitz. White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hey, people, when you think this radio stuff is easy, it's not. It's not. And everybody has their day. Ryan's just going through a little bit of growing pains, but we have it. We've got it now. And without further ado, let's go back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines, and let's talk to our buddy Rick Butler of Rocky Top Insider. Rick, what's up? Rick Butler Fridays.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hopefully you guys are all doing well today. And I got to admit, you know, don't give Ryan too much trouble on that. One of the times I got it, I hung up. I flat out hung up myself. So don't give him too much trouble. One of those was on me. But I have to assume here that you guys have just been overly excited about this weekend's activity. No, I'm not talking about the Tennessee football game, as I'm talking about Friday Night SmackDown, the WWE live at Thompson Bowling Arena tonight.
Oh, yeah, awesome. I actually have been kind of excited about it. I wish that I were going. Are you going? That's the better question. Are you headed to the TBA?
Hey, you got to watch on TV, because not only will I be there, but me and Coach Heupel's lookalike, Weston the Fish Brown, we will be there. We will be in the front row. Now, not on the direct hard camera side. We will be kind of over by the announce desk, over by Pat McAfee. But Weston Brown and I, the Fish, We will be there in the front row of Friday Night SmackDown tonight. So come look for us.
Nice, nice. I love it. Weston, the Fish Brown, Glub Glub in the tub. I'll be looking for you guys then. I'll be looking for you guys. That'll be pretty exciting. I know you guys are pretty pumped up about that. Fans are trying to get pumped up this weekend, Rick, for this Vols Tennessee Tech matchup at noon tomorrow. And things have kind of been a little tough around here on Rocky Top. You have the tough loss against Pittsburgh, where it seems like, you know, your guys showed a lot of heart. Fans, they have noticed that this team, much different from last year's team, where they kind of have a don't give up attitude and showed a lot of effort out there on the football field, just came up short. But the biggest question is, what does the quarterback position look like tomorrow? What have you heard over there on the Hill? I know Josh Heupel's kind of been close to the vest on that, but has anything changed with the status of Joe Milton and who our starter might be for tomorrow's matchup?
Well, Chance, my friend, I got to say first and foremost that I'm glad we're not bouncing around the secondary topics. We're going straight to the main point, the quarterback. That's what everybody wants to talk about. And all week so far, pretty much, Coach Heupel has been very, I don't want to say the word maybe nonchalant, but he just hasn't been willing to give away a lot of information about either injured players or speculation on when players are going to play. He just seems to be holding his cards very, very close to his chest. Back on Monday, he had nothing to say about the injury or anything. Again, wouldn't really talk about Milton or Hooker didn't get too banged up in the Pittsburgh game. But again, kind of followed that up on Wednesday, followed that up on Thursday, just saying there's not too much to go on. We're going to make those decisions a little bit later on in the week. Now, Joe Milton did practice. He was on the practice field on Wednesday. So I got to be honest, just knowing this coaching staff and kind of understanding what their mentality has been, what their goals have been, I do think that if Joe Milton is healthy, I do think he's the quarterback starter when they roll out on the field against Tennessee Tech. But guys, here's the thing, and I know you guys have been talking about this. I listen to you guys talk about this daily. The issue is that this is now, I think for people who are invested in the program, for people who are watching, this is now a little bit of deja vu, right? The coaches, since fall camp has begun up until now, really have been impressed with what they've seen on the practice field from Joe Milton. He practices really well. He makes all the throws in practice. But if he can't translate that to the game, then how much overall use is that going to be to the team's final win-loss record? I really want to see maybe what other kind of combinations Tennessee can run out there. What are the kind of schemes Tennessee can run out there against, let's be honest, a really inferior Tennessee Tech opponent?
Yeah, Rick, speaking of playing an inferior opponent like this Tennessee Tech team, obviously the expectation is that you're not only going to win, but you're going to win by a lot. So what else can you really try to get out of a game like this? Like, what else can you really, you know, what are you trying to accomplish against Tennessee Tech outside of winning a football game?
Well, Charlie, I think that's a great point, especially for the Tennessee team to be looking at, because essentially right after Tennessee Tech, you get no favors, you get no handouts, you get no freebies. You got to go on the road, start your SEC season against Florida in the Swamp at night, right? So this is essentially kind of, you know, I would even go back to before the team started against Bowling Green, they had kind of one of those last glorified scrimmages to kind of get everything right that they wanted to be able to put out against Bowling Green. I kind of look at this game a little bit the same way, right? We know that Tennessee does not have to play a perfect game to win this game by any stretch of the imagination. So they need to use this to basically find these last opportunities that they've wanted to see from whether it's individual players, whether it's certain schemes, whether it's different combinations of players on the team. This is really one of those last final chances to get everything underlined so that when you do go and play Florida, you are ready to begin that SEC season. Coach Heupel talked about yesterday what is one of the biggest changes that he has wanted to see from his team from week two to week three. He had two answers and two answers alone at the top of the list. He said penalties and turnovers. He said those are the two big things that we do not expect from our team that we consider to be unconventional from our team. So when we go out onto the field against Tennessee Tech, penalties, and turnovers, that's got to be two of the biggest things that Tennessee changes on Saturday and really just gets a little bit more under control for, again, that Florida game next week.
And, Rick, that's actually where I was going next is with the turnovers. You know, that's always been a point of emphasis for Josh Heupel coach football teams, is trying to create those extra possessions and being aggressive in seeking turnovers. But through two games, this defense hasn't really been able to come through. You know, is that something that you feel like this defensive coaching staff is starting to worry about, that maybe these players are maybe starting to press a little bit, trying to find that turnover? Or you know, how are they addressing that situation, I guess?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different ways I think you can go with this answer, and I'll start by saying that I really do believe that from these players' perspective, their biggest goal when they go into these games, when they're coming out of these games, is the team goals, essentially, right? I do believe that some of these defensive backs, right, they care more about not letting the other team into the end zone rather than maybe getting themselves a stat on the interception front or something like that. I really don't think that's a gigantic concern for this Tennessee defense, although it certainly is something that they have their eye on. Something is that, you know, an area where they know they can probably take an advantage of in the right situations. Now, I feel like this conversation maybe has gone back years into, you know, our old conversations on the show, things along that nature. But for me, I've kind of always been more to believe that turnovers are the biggest thing. To turnovers are really just a little bit of luck, right? Being in the right place at the right time. Last week, Tennessee had three turnovers on offense. Well, one of them was during a play where your starting quarterback was injured for the entirety of the game, and then your backup quarterback was essentially the cause of the next two. So in a lot of times, you do have to kind of have this a little bit be in this right place at the right time thing. But on the other hand, you can put yourself in good positions. You can put yourself in advantageous position. One of those areas is the pass rush. Guys, I don't know about you guys. I'm sure it's probably the same. I've been impressed with Tennessee's defensive line so far, especially in the run-stopping department. Now, they can be a little bit better in the pass rushing, and I think that they will get a lot better starting this week with the, I guess I should say, maybe reemergence from fall camp of Byron Young. He's going to be a really big addition that Tennessee gets back to the team this week. I think he is a very, very solid pass rusher off the edge. He's going to put a little bit more pressure on those quarterbacks, and then hopefully maybe that's one of those reasons that hopefully Tennessee can maybe pad up their numbers in the turnover department a little bit. Maybe that quarterback makes a throw a second too early, or, you know, a second, just the wrong decision. Maybe Tennessee can capitalize on that from that pass rusher in Byron Young.
Again, we are talking with Rick Butler of Rocky Top Insider. Rick, you're like two steps ahead of me right now. You brought up the turnovers right before I was about to ask you about it. Now, here we are talking about Byron Young. And for me, that's one of the things that is getting me excited about this game, is to see his debut. You know, are we going to see a ton of him tomorrow? Or, you know, given that he hasn't been able to play in those first two games, do you think they'll kind of slowly try to work him in against Tennessee Tech?
Well, Troy, let me go ahead and say, I know all your questions before you even ask them. So, you know, your good friend, your intern, Ryan, he gave me all of your questions beforehand. So I'm going to basically lead the rest of this interview, if you will. But, Troy, I think that when we're talking about Byron Young, right, again, this is a guy who we're not necessarily talking about, man, he was injured in the final practice leading up until Bowling Green, and he's been recovering from this injury, something like that. This is a guy who has been itching to get on the field. I think the coaches have been itching to get this guy on the field. And again, there's been no, well, you know, besides obviously the eligibility, there's been no reason for him to not be on the field otherwise, at least in terms of health, everything like that. This was a guy who was flying around on the field during fall camp, who was expected to be flying around the field during that first game against BG. And so now when we approach this game tomorrow, I definitely think you see a good amount of Byron Young. I think mainly this is a good opportunity for just that guy to get reps that he missed out on before SEC play. Let's think about this. Byron Young came from Georgia Military Academy, and now he's playing for the University of Tennessee in Neyland Stadium, right? That's a pretty substantial difference. So I think certainly even before you go and throw that guy into the swamp at 7 o'clock p.m. at night, you know, you really want to have that guy with some up-to-date current reps So I definitely think you see a lot of Byron Young on Saturday. But you never know. Maybe if they put the game out, maybe they do want to kind of hold back a little bit. But we'll see.
Rick, a position that I feel like that I had a lot of high hopes for coming into the season, even with not a lot of depth there, was the linebackers. As Coach Heupel talked about how they've kind of just it doesn't seem like they can get set on their linebacker rotation that they want. At the beginning of the season, thought for sure, you know, it'd be much of just Jeremy Banks and Juwan Mitchell to transfer. But is there any concern that we haven't heard a lot of noise from Juwan Mitchell at all?
You know, I found that to be fairly interesting as well, Chance. Just kind of the rotation that Tennessee is using with that linebacker core, it's been kind of all over the place. I mean, you've seen guys, you know, I don't say as far down in the depth chart to be, you know, any kind of negative, just to paint a little bit of a visual picture. But guys, even down to Roman Harrison, you know, who are in the game on the second play of the second defensive play of the game for Tennessee. That's a little bit surprising, but you know, part of me wants to kind of wait until SEC play. I think there were specific positions on the defense, and let's kind of lock into this linebacker position, in which Tennessee didn't entirely know what they had coming into the season. You had a guy, Jeremy Banks, who was switched over to the linebacker position during his college career. You're bringing in a guy in Juwan Mitchell. You're trying to get a couple of other guys up to speed to play in the SEC. I think they've really just been trying to mix and match a little bit through these first three games, again, before the true bulk of the season starts and SEC play. I really think they're just trying to use a different combination, see what all they have. Chance, but I'm with you there. I'm a little bit more, you know, hey, why haven't we seen the true combination of Jeremy Banks and Juwan Mitchell a little bit more? That's definitely something we're going to be watching on Saturday, but also something I'm definitely going to be watching for come next Saturday against Florida. Maybe Tennessee locks in those linebackers a little bit more starting in SEC play.
With, you know, the running backs, a little bit of a concern with Idris. Has there been any talk about Tyon Evans and Jabari Smalls' status, or is Jalen Wright going to be the starter going into the game tomorrow? I know they want to get him out there and get him more comfortable. But it seems like you really need to get Evans back in there after a week off and keep him and Small, you know, with some quality snaps heading into Gainesville.
Yeah, man, I'm right there with you. I think that Tennessee really wants to get these running backs back on the field. The truth is that I just don't know if it's going to happen. If you look back to last week when we knew the week that Tyon Evans was going to be questionable all week, I believe it was – oh, man, what was it? I believe it was around maybe 11 a.m., 11:30 a.m. when we truly got the news come down on game day that Tyon Evans was going to be out. Then you fast forward to this week, and we've kind of been getting the same exact thing all week, right? On Monday, we don't have any kind of update on Jabari Small and Tyon Evans. Then on Wednesday, we don't have any update on Evans and Small. We're going to wait until a little bit later on in the week. Then, during his press conference yesterday, before Josh Heupel even answered questions, he basically came out and said, hey, before anybody asks, I don't have any kind of update on any of the guys that are injured. We're going to have to figure that all out on Friday, on Saturday, before game day. So right now at this moment, from everything that I've seen, Tyon Evans, Jabari Small, right now still listed as questionable. I would imagine that we'll get a little bit more of those answers on Saturday, about, again, an hour, hour and a half, 30 minutes before the game. But as of now, and as of his press conference yesterday, Josh, I'm anything new on Tennessee's top leading running backs.
All right, Rick, what question am I about to ask you?
Oh. Well, I didn't expect you to put me on the spot, but if I had to imagine, I'm trying to stall a little bit, I would imagine that you're going to ask me for a score prediction because it's 11:29.
Actually, before the score prediction, I was going to say,
dang it!
How are your Cowboys going to beat the Chargers in L.A. this weekend? How you feeling?
Oh! You know, I don't know. I think I saw somebody help me out on this. I think I saw that DeMarcus Lawrence.
He's out.
Did he get hurt yesterday?
He broke his foot.
He's out 6 to 8 weeks.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that again? He did what?
Broke his foot.
Oh, that's bad. That's bad.
No good. Not good, Clark. Not good.
Oh, as Stan and Neil used to say on the Classic Sports Center, is that bad? It's not good. Guys, I don't know. I think that's a big hit. But I'd like to say that we're going to beat the Chargers. You got old Josh Palmer. Hopefully he doesn't go for like 300 yards on Dallas, although that might be kind of cool from a Tennessee perspective. I'm going to say they win, though. I'm going to say the Cowboys win. I'm back to predicting a Cowboys win every single week because I don't have to hold my predictions in a public atmosphere on the radio anymore. So I'm going to go back to saying the Cowboys win every single week.
All right, cool. It was in our confidence pick, so I wanted to know what you were thinking so I could fade
17 you. 17-1 on the year. The Cowboys will go 17-1 on the year. All right, Rick, you know what time it is. You're watching the clock, too. You've done this before. Time for a little score prediction. Will Tennessee cover the 41.5, I guess, is basically the question.
Oh. Hello, 41.5-point spread. You know what? I want to say they do. I want to say they do, and I want to say this is the first week that Tennessee is able to this week. Now, that is a massive number, right? But Tennessee has scored 38 in the first game. They scored 34 in the second game. We all know that they left a ton of points on the board in the second game. Yeah, I think they can hit maybe maybe close to a 45, a 46. And, look, I do not expect Tennessee Tech to really get on the scoreboard, if at all. They could not get on the scoreboard against Furman. I really, really do not think they should put a lot of points on the board against Tennessee.
Yeah, they didn't score against Furman, and their quarterbacks have a combined 2 touchdowns in their last 2 games. So, should be
with
a doozy.
With a whole lot more interceptions.
Yeah, with a lot more interceptions. Should be an easy
one. We better
one.
Get a turnover this
should
week.
Should be an easy one for the Vols. Hey, Rick, always a pleasure. Thank you. We'll do it again next Friday, Florida Hate Week.
Hey, there you go, guys. It's a pleasure as always. It's an honor to be on the greatest radio show in the city of Knoxville. And well, maybe I'll just see you boys at Friday Night SmackDown tonight. Look for me and the Fish. We will be out. We will be about. And who knows, we might even get in the ring and mix it up with Roman Reigns ourselves. Place your bets now.
Hit a caterpillar for me.
We will take the gold.
Hit a caterpillar for me, please.
We'll hit the caterpillar, Charlie. We'll hit the caterpillar.
Hey, the Fish did name his kid after Roman. Hey, appreciate the phone call, Rick. As always, great stuff from Rick. If you want to follow him on Twitter, head over to Twitter and follow at Rick_Butler. He is a beat writer and handles media content for Rocky Type Insider. Former host here on the Blitz. Always great to speak with Rick.
Going to have to record SmackDown tonight.
Yeah, we will. We'll have to DVR that fast.
I hope we get a close-up of Fish just going crazy.
And he will be going crazy if there is a close-up of him. He and Rick both will be going crazy. They'll be marking out, as the wrestling fans say. Hey, on the other side, it's time for confidence predictions, confidence picks. Keep it locked here. This is the Blitz, and this is FanRun Radio. Welcome back to the Blitz, live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Time for confidence predictions, brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Looking at the total standings, it is GP3 in the lead with 116. He got a big dog of the week last week, getting 17 from Stanford. He had 39 points last week, 116 overall, followed by Ryan with 94 overall. He got 21 last week. Or no, excuse me, I'm second. I got 96 overall, 31 last week. Ryan's third, 94 points total, 21 last week. Charlie has 89 total, 20 last week. Let's go ahead and do it. Virginia Tech at West Virginia. GP3 takes West Virginia with 2 confidence points. Ryan, who you got?
I got Virginia Tech, except this is one of the ones that was quite the toss-up. I'm just going to keep it with a little one right here.
All right, Charlie.
Yeah, I got Vautech here, and I got him for 4, and that's not necessarily indicative of a level of confidence in them that high. It's just, a consequence of this being a pretty difficult week to pick. But I have Virginia Tech at 4, and, you know, I think they're really impressive against North Carolina week 1, shutting down Sam Howell. And West Virginia, they're still trying to figure some things out. I'll ride with it.
Yeah, this one I feel like is a pick 'em. And I went ahead and picked Vitek with two. I like Vitek playing some pretty decent football this year. The big win versus North Carolina to start off the year. They are on the road, but it's a decent rivalry game for them. I took them 2 points. All right, next up, Michigan State, Sparty at the Canes. GP3 has taken Michigan State with one confidence point. Ryan, what say you?
Give me Sparty for four right here. Not only I like to root for the Spartans right here, got a lot of family roots for it, but what I really like in this, Kenneth Walker has been a beast as a running back this year. I don't know if a lot of people have been checking him out because Michigan State hasn't had the sexiest matchups just yet.
He is a dog.
He is awesome. Him and Peyton Thorne, who's been a really solid quarterback for them, give me four confidence points right here from Michigan State to get the dub.
All right, Charlie, what say you?
I got five confidence points for Michigan State. I mean, not only do I like this Michigan State team, I think Mel Tucker's doing some nice things. The defense has been impressive. I hate this Miami team. I genuinely think they're terrible. Manny Diaz should have never gotten that job, and he still shouldn't have it anymore. He should have been fired by now. He's a joke of a coach. They're a joke of a team. They should have gotten beat by App State last week. Miami sucks. I don't know why we pretended that they were good at the start of the season.
Wow. I don't really care for Miami. Being a State fan, but I am going to ride with him this game. I think that they still have Derek King playing, right?
Yep.
Maybe he can do some damage. Michigan State does have a good defense, and their running back is really good. And I do like what Mel Tucker has done there. But all you guys took Michigan State, so somebody needs to be different. Give me the Canes for four confidence points. All right, next up, Bama heads to the Swamp. Intern Ryan, who you got?
Bama. It's hard not to put Bama as a 10 confidence piece until they prove otherwise. So I'm going to have to ride Bama on this one.
Yeah, GP3 also took Bama at 10 points. I'm going to do the same. I agree with everyone, the consensus of the nation. I'm probably going to ride with Bama until somebody upsets them, and I don't think it's going to be Florida, even though it's in the Swamp. I'm still going to go with Bama and 10 points.
There's not an opponent at the FBS level right now that Alabama could play that I wouldn't pick them with at least 8 confidence points, even Georgia. So I have Alabama for 9 here.
Yeah, it's really tough to pick against them. Next up, Auburn headed to Happy Valley. You got the big whiteout game. It's going to be the Saturday night game of the week on ABC. I'm going to go with Auburn, 3 points for the upset in Happy Valley. GP3 has Penn State with 4. Ryan?
Yeah, I'm going to have to back more GP3 than you on this one, Chance. I got Penn State for 2, and that's mainly because Auburn is way out of their comfort zone right here, going up to the Big Ten for their first away game with that conference in a while.
It's the first road Big Ten team they've played in 90 years.
90? God bless. Yeah, give me Penn State right here for 2. It'll be a good game.
I don't even know if it'll be a good game, honestly. Auburn's really not that good. They're a pretty mediocre football team. Bo Nix is a slight upgrade from Jarek Arantano in my eyes. Not a huge believer in Coach Harsin, and they're doing a whiteout. And in those whiteouts, I mean, Penn State has a very good track record. They've upset Ohio State as huge underdogs. They've beaten ranked teams by 30-plus points all in recent history with these wideout games. I just don't see Auburn pulling it out. I got Penn State, 6 points.
Next up, we're going to do our dog of the week before we get to our NFL matchups. My dog of the week.
You have BYU and Arizona State first.
Oh, sorry, I missed that one. Well, let's go BYU, Arizona State. I'm going to go with the Fighting Herm Edwards for 4 points. I know it's at BYU, and that's going to be a tough road win for Arizona State. But they got, Jaden Daniels? I believe that's the guy's name. Pretty good. So give me the Sun Devils.
Ryan?
Yeah, I'm riding the hot hand of BYU. They've been winning quite a bit lately, and I've put my trust in them lately. So I'm going to keep riding it for 3 confidence points for BYU.
No one's harder to figure out than BYU in the Pac-12. BYU looked pretty bad against Arizona in a scrappy week one win, but then they come out week two and beat a good Utah team pretty handily, or at least, the way they played the game handily. I don't know. I don't trust the physicality of Arizona State against BYU, but I have no confidence in this game at all. BYU won.
All right, GP3 is going BYU 7 points.
Wow.
Woo.
Wow.
7 points for BYU. That's crazy.
More riding with the Mormons. All right.
Crazy talk. All right, dog of the week time before we get to NFL picks. My dog of the week is going to be Lance Leipold. I know they had a tough matchup last Friday with Coastal Carolina. Not going to be an easy matchup versus Dave Aranda and the Baylor Bears, but I think this is the big win for the Lance Leipold debut season, Rock Chalk Jayhawk. I've got them at 17.5 underdog. That is my dog of the week, the Kansas Jayhawks.
I like that. I had my eye on that. I liked a lot of potential
dogs
this week.
I think Baylor's, they're not as scary as Coastal.
You could have taken the Lions, too, against your Packers.
Yeah.
We got the rare double-digit dog in the NFL.
I know. I hate to pick against my team, though. So
I was so close to doing that. So close to picking the Lions, but I was staying away from my own team as well. So I ended up going for Fresno State. They're 11-point underdogs against UCLA, and it's mainly because I don't think UCLA is a good team at all either, Charlie. You've been preaching that for a while. I'm going to try to ride it. And Fresno State is a solid enough team. They could definitely get this win right here.
All right, GP3 took Arkansas State, 17-point underdog, playing Washington.
See,
Butch Jones.
I like all three of y'all's picks. Those are all three that I looked at closely. I mean, Fresno State almost beat Oregon. Oregon's better than UCLA. I don't know. Transitive property, maybe it applies.
Exactly.
My dog of the week, though, I talked earlier in this segment or in this show about how I think LSU is atrocious. Their run defense was terrible against UCLA. And Central Michigan, plus 20. In week one, they played Missouri and were able to run all over Missouri. Now, granted, we know how bad that rush defense is, but I think LSU's on a similar level. I like Central Michigan to potentially go into LSU and beat the Tigers. We've seen LSU be susceptible to upset losses from Group of Five teams at home in the past.
All right, time to flow through these last five. Titans at Seahawks. I'm going with the Seahawks 9. Dangerous Russ Wilson, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and the boys. I think they're going to – it's at the 12th man. That's what I really am rooting for the Seahawks in this. I think that's an easy one. It's going to be real tough for the Titans to win there.
You know what, Chance?
Seahawks 9.
You know what, Chance?
Yes, Charlie.
The Titans have never lost under Coach Vrabel following a blowout loss. And some of his most signature wins have actually come after a blowout loss, including on the road in Baltimore and home against Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City.
What about on the road in Seattle?
Well, we haven't had that opportunity
yet.
But the Titans are 9-0 under Vrabel after getting blown out the week before.
How many confidence points you got in them?
2.
Okay. GP3 with 3. And Ryan, who you got?
Now, I'm going to back Seattle as well. That team looked way too electric last week against the Colts defense, which they're not as good as they have been in recent past, but they are a lot better than the Titans right here, and there's no reason Russell won't do the same thing. So
right.
I got 6 confidence points in Russell Wilson to beat the Titans.
All right, next 4, Bills at Dolphins. I'm going to go Bills with 7. GP3 went the Bills at 8. I just think they have too much firepower for the Dolphins.
Yep, keep it short and sweet. Bills 9-piece right here.
Charlie?
Same page, Bills 8.
All right, next up, we just got 3 more NFL matchups. Cowboys at the Chargers. This is the one how you felt against Arizona State and BYU. I know the Cowboys looked good on Thursday Night Football, and Dak put up a lot. Zeke couldn't get going. I think the Chargers played pretty good defense against Washington, and they battled that out. And Herbert looked damn good, but I'm still not confident in either team, so I went with the Chargers and 1 point. GP3 took the Cowboys and 5.
Wow, I also took the Cowboys at 5 right here, and that's mainly because I want to see more from the Chargers. I need to see more of their offense. That is supposed to be one of the high-powered offenses, and they only put up 20 points. Yes, it is respectable defense, but Austin Eckler, take a step up for me real quick. Herbert, take that next step. I got the Cowboys for 5.
I like this Chargers team a lot. I think their defense is solid, and their offense should be able to get rolling against a bad Cowboys defense that now doesn't have DeMarcus Lawrence. Plus, it's at home. Give me the Chargers for 3.
Next up, Chiefs at Ravens. I almost want to take the Ravens here because they're playing at home, but their defense just did not look great versus the Raiders, who I didn't think was very good coming to the season. All they got is Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs, in my opinion. And then the Chiefs, they have everybody. Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And don't forget about Patrick Mahomes. Give me the Chiefs with 8 points. GP3 has taken the Chiefs with 9.
The Chiefs have shown they know the game plan to beat Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. It was the one that the Titans established in the divisional game 2 years ago. And I think they'll implement it this Sunday. Not to mention that Ravens offensive line is terrible. Chris Jones, Frank Clark, they should be able to have a field day. Chiefs 10. I mean, I'm confident enough to put that above Alabama beating Florida.
Yeah, I don't blame you one bit right there. I got the Chiefs for 8 as well, mainly because, like we've talked about, like you said, Chance, that Ravens defense is nothing as formidable as it used to be, and you're talking about the best offense in the NFL.
Yeah, it's really tough to go against the Chiefs. There's so many damn weapons. All right, last game for the confidence picks. The Raiders travel to Heinz Field to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. I like the Raiders in this, and I still might switch to the Raiders in this. Darren Waller, he's on a mission. But, man, it's really tough. Steelers defense looked a lot better. They beat the Bills in week one. Although it was a sloppy game from both sides, I didn't see anything that I really liked more either way. Ah, bleep it. I'm going Raiders 5. I'm changing my pick. Raiders 5. I had the Steelers down. I'm going Raiders 5. GP3 took Steelers 6.
I mean, the Steelers' offensive line was why they didn't have a run game last year. And instead of upgrading the offensive line, they just went and got Najee Harris to think that would fix things. It didn't in week one. Granted, the Bills' defense is good. But I don't know. I don't trust the Steelers team a lot. The Raiders' pass rush showed up on Monday night. And I think people forget how decent this Raiders offense is with Derek Carr and, you know, Darren Waller and the receivers that they do have. They were better last year than people realized. But I think I still got to go with the Steelers here and have them for 7 points.
Ooh,
I don't know
to
why.
To be not so confident, that's a lot of confidence.
I was confident when I wrote down the numbers this morning. And
when you started talking about it.
And
like,
now I am not, but whatever, I guess. I got the Steelers for 7. I'm not good enough math guy to go change up these numbers. So.
I got you.
Yeah, I've been really heavily debating this game as well because, Chance, like you, I was really feeling the Raiders, like, initially right here, but I'm going to have to back that Pittsburgh defense. Again, this is one of those that they have some absolute studs over there, and I got 7 on them. That is too high for me as well, but it's one of those, the numbers kind of filled out other places, and you're like, well, shoot.
We're going to be all right. Short week, they're traveling across the country.
That was Confidence Picks. For your Friday, September 17th, brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Biggest game this Sunday, Chiefs versus Ravens. And FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds. That's right, new customers, you get 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can end the weekend right by winning $150 in a $5 bet. Try your luck on the same game parlay. Take the money line. Do over under. I just told you which ones that I like. I love the Seahawks over the Titans. I also love the Chiefs over the Ravens this weekend. Number one rated sportsbook app in America. Easy to use, safe and secure, fast payouts in as little as 24 hours. FanDuel is sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code BLITZ this Sunday before the Chiefs take on the Ravens, and you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code BLITZ so they know that we sent you. Exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager and designated offer market. Max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem. Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. On the other side, we will wrap up the week and give you our predictions for the Tennessee Vols taking on Tennessee Tech tomorrow at noon. Keep it locked here. One last segment. This is Fan Run Radio.
So you're watching the game and you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook. And you think to yourself, is that legal here in Tennessee? You bet it is. You can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, there's no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get the entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays. Once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they'll get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. To claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code BLITZ so they know we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code BLITZ. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is now withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Like it or not, social media is here to stay. Your business needs to stand out on social media, helping you get in front of your customers, fans, and connections, especially as more and more happens online. Smarter Searches is a local digital marketing agency that specializes in social media marketing. They can write Facebook posts, create images for Instagram, manage your reputation and reviews online, help you with setting up stores on your social media pages, or help train.
Wish that I was on old Rocky Top down in the Tennessee hills. Ain't no smoggy smoke.
Last call for the week. Great week by us, if I do say so myself. Head over to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to all the podcasts here at Fan Run Radio. And give us all some feedback. You know, leave a comment. Rate, like it. Give us 5 stars. And if you don't, we'll be very inclined to call you a hater. And I mean that for all of the shows. Talk Sports is in the building. They'll have you covered from noon until 3. Russell and the Bear have you this afternoon, 3 until 6. Overtime, 6 to 8. And then this weekend, immediately after the Tennessee Tech game, Russell the Bear and Davey Hudson will have you covered on Voluntary Reaction. But time to get to our score predictions real quick. We only have about a minute here.
Rapid fire.
Rapid fire score predictions. I do think that Tennessee covers tomorrow. I think that they go out and not really make a statement, but they do the things that we've been wanting them to do, and Joe Milton looks pretty damn good tomorrow, I'll say as well. I think we see all quarterbacks. So I'm going to go Tennessee 54, Tennessee Tech 3. 54-3, Vols.
Joe Milton figures it out, becomes the guy for Florida. 48-3, Vols. Let's get it.
Watch out for Hendon Hooker right here. This is going to be a 52-6 victory for your Tennessee Vols.
52-6, watch out for Hendon Hooker. Hey, they'll do it for us for the week. Great stuff. If you missed anything from hour number one, it is up now at SoundCloud, also on iTunes. Hour number two will be up as soon as we are off. Today is National Tradesman Day. It's also National Apple Dumpling Day. National Constitution Day and Citizenship Day. Be a good citizen out there. National Monte Cristo Day. I love a good Monte Cristo. Man, those sandwiches are good.
I don't know what it is.
It's like a ham sandwich on a pastry with also some...
French toast, right?
You can do it on French toast or croissant, and then you put jelly in it too, like blueberry, blackberry jelly. It's really good. It's really good. It's also National Prisoners of War Missing in Action Recognition Day. National Professional House Cleaners Day. Hey, for Charlie, for GP3 at Bristol, and for intern Ryan, I'm Chance Collins. We'll do it all again next week right here on the Blitz. Keep it locked here. Next up is Talk Sports.